Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Every so often, through the course of history, a patriot rises in a time of need for truth and freedom. Unifying patriots everywhere against the evil trying to destroy America's freedom. Now, here's your host, Tim Alders.
All right, welcome to the revolution. Tim Alders, Disciples of Liberty. What is a Disciple of Liberty? I first wanted to tell you because this is the first show. This is the launch of the newest show. I used to do Freedom's Voice. I used to do Buy Back America. This is the Disciples of Liberty because it's needed this time, this era, this decade. Now, we have to stand up. And Disciples of Liberty are people who will defend the Constitution, defend freedom, defend the God-given liberty that they have, no matter what the cost. And those are few and far between. So if you're listening to this show, hopefully you'll become a disciple of liberty and stand up for injustice when you see it, especially when it comes from the government, because government cannot restrain you. The one thing that people forget is that government works for us. This is a government by the people, for the people, not mandated by a government in Washington, D.C. And who better to join me on the show today than my longtime friend, longtime radio host himself, the Brian Hyde Show, is Brian Hyde.
Tim, what an honor. And I got to tell you, I have loved the phrase Disciple of Liberty since the very first time I heard you say those words. So I'm anxious to see you take this and just run with it.
You know, and you know, I've been considering this a long time, had a lot of personal issues, didn't know if I really wanted to get into politics anymore, didn't know if it's worth the fight. You know, we all have those questions. We all question, is it worth those fight? Because I tell you, people, you get into this fight, you become a conservative extremist in the eyes of the government. You become a religious extremist in the eyes of the government. They consider us domestic terrorists. But the revolution is happening. Whether people in America want to realize it or not, the socialist revolution is happening in this country. The socialists have taken over. They have taken over the Republican Party, the Democrat Party. They have taken over state governments, local cities. It's just out there. People believe they can mandate your life better than you can live their life. And that's not ever how it was intended to be.
No, and it's been astonishing to see how quickly they've been moving to consolidate their control. You know, the perception is, well, now that we're back in charge, it seems like they're locking things down to ensure that no one will ever challenge that hold on power again. And it feels a little bit scary.
So this is a funny story. This is just how far people are programmed. Today, I was in an elevator leaving a doctor's office, and lots of people got on the elevator, and they were all older people, and they're like, oh, wow, we're not 6 feet apart. And one of the people goes, yeah, but we've all had our COVID shots. And I said, I haven't had a COVID shot. And everybody in the elevator turned and looked at me, and they're like, what? You're young. Why not? And I said, there's no medical science behind it to me. I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm just not getting a COVID shot. And they're all like edging away. So if you can imagine a picture of me, 6'6", in an elevator on one side with like 3 feet between me and eight people scrunched up against another wall. It was just so humorous. That's how the sheep are. They would rather be touching each other in one little corner of this elevator going down four floors than be anywhere near me.
Isn't it strange how quickly people have forgotten what it was like to live as a normal human being?
It is. It is. It's like, you know, we grew up dirty. I always like those memes when I see, you know, we were the last generation to play in the sand, eat bugs, get dirty, you know, walk in, forget to wash our hands, eat food. It's just today's society is so fear oriented. And that's how socialist and communism wins. If they can make you afraid for your life, you'll let liberty go. And that's what the Marxist platform has been. That's what people have been warning us from different religions and different people like Reagan have stated, that if we allow them to make us hate each other, make us fear each other, make us fear this pandemic, then we will give up liberty in a snap of a finger.
You know, my wife has a coworker who started out when this whole pandemic thing struck as not particularly in favor of masks. And this coworker told her something the other day about how I just feel safer now when I put it on. And I thought, she's a very reasonable person, this lady. But it's a good illustration of how what once was unthinkable suddenly becomes acceptable if you're conditioned to it. And I think we've seen that conditioning on a huge scale.
What people don't realize is this is how the extremist Muslims condition their women. Women cover their face, cover their bodies. And the saying goes, if we can control your mouth and cover your face, then you have no say. And that's how I think our government views it. If they can get us to wear masks, if they can get us to not associate with each other, not gather freely. I mean, they've thrown out every amendment. And that's why I say the socialist revolution happened while conservatives were working and attending church. And we've lost the Constitution as it was. Because as Americans, and this is what the founding fathers, at least the anti-federalists, feared, is a strong centralized government that wanted power so much that they would do anything to get rid of the Constitution and to take away states' rights and to take away liberty from the individual. And this is one of the things that bothers me when, and this is just sort of a ranting show today, no real topic. We'll cover a lot of things that's going on in the world. But one of the things that truly troubles me is that government feels that they can mandate our lives, our guns, our safety, our health, that they're just better at watching over us than we are, watching over our children. You know, the statement, it takes a village to raise your children. I was raised by one mom and dad. It wasn't a village, but they want to believe that the school teachers are better at teaching your kid about proper social behavior, about proper etiquette when it comes to race, and how they're teaching our children how to hate America. And one of the things that I get in discussions with my more liberal friends from high school, because yes, my generation is the generation that really started to hurt the country, graduating in the 80s. Is they always tell me, you know, you always say we're a constitutional republic and you're like that, but we're a democracy. No, we're not. We're a constitutional republic based on small principles of a democracy. But the difference between a constitutional republic is a constitutional republic is based on laws that restrain government, not restrain people. And a democracy is when any mass of people can get their voices loud enough to get government to take away rights and liberties from somebody else to benefit them. And this is why the founders feared democracies. This is why every politician, Republicans like Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, when they mention democracy, it's just as a violation to the oath of office, Section 5 of U.S. Code 7311, to promote no form a government other than a constitutional republic. They're all committing a felony, yet nobody cares because we're so pre-programmed now to accept that America is a democracy. I almost want to slap my friends when they say we live in a democracy. No, we don't. Smack, smack. We live in a constitutional republic. How do you feel when people use that terminology because you're educated?
Well, I have to resist the urge to slap them, too. I mean, even verbally. But I want people to understand that difference. And I think you're right to make that distinction. Now, I have a question for you. I think if you were to ask 10 people on the street, is liberty a good thing? I bet you 10 out of 10 would say, yeah, it is. They may not understand exactly what it is, but they're going to think, yeah, it's OK. Freedom is better than slavery, right? Tim, there are people who want to defend liberty, but I fear that we have more cheerleaders than we have disciples. And since this show is called Disciples of Liberty, could you explain the difference between someone who cheerleads for liberty versus a disciple? What makes a disciple a disciple?
Well, I have to look at the original founding fathers, founding mothers, the Abigail Adams, the people who went to Boston Harbor and threw the tea overboard. A disciple is somebody who, and I got disciple from being a religious man, and our religion has missionaries that go and teach Christ to people all throughout the world. And they're not forcing Christ on people. They're just answering questions and trying to educate people and letting people find their own inner connection to God. And so I'm like, if the Bible can have missionaries in many different religions, why doesn't the Constitution have disciples? Disciples are people who would teach yet also defend the principles this country were based on. And our politicians don't do either. They don't preach the Constitution and they won't defend the Constitution. They won't even, you know, believe they're supposed to follow the same laws the people of this country are. So a disciple of liberty is going to be somebody who will rise up against evil. And it's going to be the Anne Franks, the people who saw evil from the Nazi Germans and did their part to try and save people from gas chambers in her case. Does that make sense? People like my parents who were snatched off bikes and put into work camps in Holland. By the Germans. And when my mom passed away in 2010, she said it's happening in America. Too many people believe government to be 100% honest and will turn in their neighbors. And we're seeing that with the mask mandates. We're seeing people, oh, I'm going to call the manager of this store, or I'm going to call the police. You're violating this mandate, and I have to turn you in because that's my duty as a slave. And this is how they've won. And I say they've won because we're not a constitutional republic anymore. The Constitution, in my religion, they said it would be hanging by a thread. It's not hanging by a thread anymore. We basically have none of the rights guaranteed in the founding of this nation anymore.
I think that some people may mistake, you know, the idea of discipleship with, well, that sounds like a position of privilege and ease and comfort and, you know, adulation everywhere you go. Remind me, when we talk about the disciples, like the disciples of Jesus, how easy were their lives once they made that commitment that, yep, we're going to follow him?
Yeah, life's not going to get easier. If you claim yourself to be a disciple of liberty, like I said before, you're going to be an extremist. You're going to be labeled a terrorist by your own government, by your own family, possibly, by friends, by people like, you're crazy. You're joining this Disciples of Liberty cult, and we need to save you because freedom is free. And government, if we let them take from one people, will give us more, and they'll sustain our lives. But what happens when there's nobody left to take from? Who becomes a useless member of society and who becomes a useful member of society? And this is the problem. It always brings back, I posted something on Facebook the other day, and you want to talk about a toxic conversation. I posted a picture of Sitting Bull, and it said the U.S. government violated every treaty with us, and now they violated it with you. It's called the Constitution. You know, but when... And this is when people that remain silent are bad. What happened, and we recognize it today, what happened with the Indians was tragic. We took their land. We pushed them off. We made them march barefoot, let them get sick in winter to go to new lands. And then when we found gold or something valuable on their land, we'd kick them off of that land. And we put them on the worst land out in the deserts, you know, when they were the first people here because we were the stronger people. And that's not right, but that's not us. It's not our generation. But everybody wants to talk about reparations to black people. There's been more white slaves throughout history than there has been African-Americans. There's been Chinese slaves, Irish slaves. But what about the Indians? I mean, if we start paying everybody back, we're all going to get the same sum of money. So let's just all keep our money and tell government to shut up and stop treating each other like anything but all equal Americans. And that's what the Constitution was about. Everybody throughout the world is born free. Yet, not everybody in the world lives free. Less than 5% of the people who's ever existed on this planet has ever truly had freedom. And that's what it's about. Is America going to take its freedom back, or are we going to go the way every other nation wants us to go, into where we're controlled by government and we're the last bastion of freedom, the last beacon of light that people can no longer look to America to go? They want to stay in Venezuela because America's no better. And that's the difference, is people in Europe now have more freedoms than people in America. And they're like, well, we don't want to go to America anymore. The people that want to come here are the people from from Mexico or Venezuela or Haiti, where they have no freedom, still here looks better, and they can't get to Europe, so they'll come to America. But they make America what it is, what they left, because they're not coming here legally.
Tim, talk to me about the difference between freedom just being given as a gift, like a hand-me-down. Here, Tim, you know, I don't need this sweatshirt anymore. You go ahead and take it, versus something that has to be, that a person has to qualify in order to enjoy.
Well, let's look at the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers studied all the Enlightenment era people. They studied the Bible. They studied Thoreau. They studied Greek philosophers, Roman philosophers. They looked at Caesar. They looked at everything to find out where true freedom came from. And they knew freedom came from God. And it's unalienable that God gave it to us. It's ours. But they also recognized that kings had been mandating and enslaving people for as long as the world existed. Whenever people can gather enough armies and enough strength, they are now the king. You know, who first made royal blood? This is the issue I have with kings anywhere. At one point, your ancestor was just the biggest bully on the block and appointed himself king, and now you feel you have royal blood appointed by God. No, you were appointed by violence. And to maintain that title is just an affront to liberty and freedom anywhere. And so all these royal weddings, I have real issue with, because it's like, okay, if you really know how their rulership came about, it wasn't the best in the world. But so the Founding Fathers recognized, yeah, we were born free, but we're not free. In order to take our freedom, we have to fight. And we have to fight the world's most elaborate and well-armed military on the face of the earth today. And we're going to be outmanned. We're going to be outgunned. So we're going to fight a little dirty. We're going to change the way things are done with the Minutemen. And we're not going to fight on their terms. We're going to fight for the very livelihood of freedom. So they stood up and fought. And they were labeled terrorists. And they had death sentences imposed upon them by the Court of England, by King George. And they had their farms burned. They had their wealth taken. But to them, freedom was more important than any material worldly possession, because these were well respected. Many of them were very well respected among England Parliament. They could have lived in America, paid their fees, had great living per se, but that's not what they wanted. So freedom's not free. It's not like it's given to us by government. If you want it, you have to take it back. And that's where government says, well, if you're like this Tim Alders on the radio talking about taking back your country and your freedom and your liberty, then you're a domestic terrorist. And we can throw you in jail for speaking out against government. Well, you know, they've overthrown governments all over the world. They've spoke out against leaders. They're not the nicest people. And our own government, if you trace the history, are some of the biggest liars and hypocrites that have ever existed. So, yeah, it comes down to the people. It comes down to, will our military support us if things go really bad? Because, you know, they swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, yet they seem to protect and defend our dictators. And so, you know, I spent 4 years with people on my Facebook saying Trump's not my president, he's an evil man and all this. And then the first day I posted, Biden's not my president, he stole the election. And just so people know, the Michigan judge finally ruled that the Michigan election was fraudulent. You know, it's after the election, and these judges are starting to get the courage because now they know Biden won and there's going to be no repercussions. But as people, we should be disgusted that the person sitting in the White House gained it illegally. It was ruled that the Michigan Secretary of State and the people changed the elections illegally. And that the people who voted shouldn't have been allowed to vote. So it's, you know, hey, we've had our White House stolen and we still believe we live in a free country.
It seems to me that the founding generation wasn't just about power. I mean, when they stood up to England, when they said we will govern ourselves, it wasn't a power grab on their part so much as they were making a stand based on moral clarity. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on where did they get that moral clarity? Where did they understand that sometimes it's okay to stand up to someone who is exerting authority over you and say, enough, I will take it from here?
Well, you know, it's like I said, they got a lot from Genesis in the Bible. They got a lot from the Enlightenment era. Now, the Enlightenment era is the period from like the 1500s on to the 1700s. There was a lot of authors, a lot of Greek philosophers who wrote about liberty and freedom and how it didn't exist in their nations. Blackstone, wrote the treatise on government. And Blackstone wasn't even very popular in England when he wrote those, but he was more popular in America because his take on where liberty and freedom came from was totally opposite of where a king or leadership or rulership. So they got enlightened. They read all these books. They looked at everything. And I'll talk to Malcolm at America Out Loud and see if he can put the list of books that the founders studied, because there are hundreds of them. In fact, when Thomas Jefferson started sending crates of books to John Adams, John Adams was like, wow, you want me to read all these? And he did. But the fact of the matter is, they got enlightened. So how are you going to get enlightened? You're not just going to be enlightened by reading the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. It's getting harder to find all the writings from the founding fathers. But you got to look at Thomas Jefferson's library and read the books that he read and find your own journey. Because if you're not 100% sold that you're meant to live free, you'll always give it up. And that's what the founding fathers feared the most. And the founding fathers I'm talking about is Patrick Henry, George Mason, Roger Sherman, the anti-federalists who were so afraid of a strong centralized government that they would impose their authority over states, and then the states would use the federal authority to impose over cities and towns and communities. But that's where we're at today, because people don't know where freedom originated with. They can't find freedom within. And I think that answers your question the best, is freedom's found within us all. But many of us are willing to give up that freedom for a token. It's like people in today's world, I remember learning about when the Spanish first landed on the shores of Mexico and when people first landed and the Indians would give up land for trinkets, this fake bobble necklace. It wasn't even real jewels, and they'd give up their gold and everything. And if they didn't, then the Spaniards would take it and slaughter them all. But the fact of the matter is they would sell everything that meant the world to them for a token that they'd never seen before. And it's like when Vietnam happened and some of these other wars, and the military men would give a starving person a chocolate bar, they would follow them around and feel that they gave them their life and now they owe them something. You don't owe anybody anything except yourself and your posterity. And that's the problem people in America have, is they don't think about their posterity anymore. They don't think about, oh, well, these bailouts and these COVID stimulus checks are good. Well, it's putting us in this massive debt. And our founding fathers would say a nation that's in debt to other nation is a slave to another nation. And it is illegal, immoral, and unethical to place a debt burden on future generations to make your life more comfortable today.
I think it was Thomas Jefferson in a letter to Peter Carr who he coined the phrase "Earth is for the living." And that's exactly what he talked about, was if you incur a debt greater than you have the ability to pay within your lifetime, you have done a terrible disservice to the generations that follow you. And I think what we're seeing right now with all the spending going on, especially the stimulus spending, is possibly the greatest example of intergenerational theft that's ever happened in all of human history.
Well, and this is part of the problem, is a lot of conservatives bought into this COVID stimulus because, well, the government shut down our businesses and they hurt our jobs with these mandates that you can't get gathered together, you can't have businesses open, all these businesses aren't essential and they need to shut down. That was never in the authority of the government. And we have a mayor here in Utah, Jenny Wilson, who says she's going to keep the mandates going because it's her job to protect our health. No, it's not. Whoever gave you that job, you are elected to uphold the laws that are put in place to protect us, to make sure that laws aren't restrictive and go against the Constitution. But these people appoint themselves these dictators of our lives, and it's just wrong. I have such a hard time with it, and I see this, but so many conservatives bought on to, I want my stimulus check, I'm going to go buy guns, I want all this. And I'm like, so you're okay with putting your future generations in debt? And it's like, well, okay, but everybody's getting it. There's no option. Send it back. You know, you don't have to take it. It's hard to say, okay, well, as a couple, you got 2,400, 24 or 28 or whatever it was, to not take it and send it back to the government. And it's like, well, everybody else is getting it, so I'm going to have to pay their debt anyway. So there's ways to justify slavery. And that's the problem with us in America, is we're justifying slavery. So you're listening to the Disciples of Liberty. I'm Tim Alders. You're listening on the America Out Loud Network. You're going to come up to some sponsors. Remember to support the sponsors. That's what keeps shows like this on the air. If you own a business and you want to support freedom and liberty, become a sponsor. Especially many businesses today operate out of your own homes. So join the movement, join the cause, help keep voices like this going. Share it on your social media, share it through your LinkedIn, your Facebook, if they'll allow it, because it says liberty. They probably won't. But the fact of the matter is, liberty's not free. And if you're not a disciple and you're not fighting for it and working to maintain it, then you're not anything but allowing the government to put chains on you. You're a slave. You just can't see the chains. We'll be back after
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue: Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Welcome back to the Disciples of Liberty. I'm Tim Alders. My friend and I guess you'd call him guest, Brian Hyde, is here with us today. How are you today, Brian?
I'm excited to be with you on this inaugural broadcast.
Yeah, and it's just basically a rant about freedom, because that's what the Disciples of Liberty is about. It's about maintaining disciples throughout this country who will, at a moment's notice, defend liberty and freedom. And you will be a domestic terrorist. You will be an extremist. You will be a religious extremist. You will be everything, because they are afraid of people recognizing that liberty comes from anything but them. And especially God. If you say liberty comes from God and the Constitution was inspired by God, you are automatically an enemy in this country, because they want to destroy families. They want to destroy friendships. They want to divide us among race, sexuality. They want to make us hate each other, because if we do all that, and this is the problem. I posed this question once, and I'm going to ask you this question right now, Brian, and I want everybody to listen to this question and answer it. And I want you to email in and answer it. What piece of legislation in your lifetime, I'm giving you your lifetime. So for some people, it's going to be 70 years. For some, it'll be 40. Some, it might be 20. But in your lifetime, restored liberty or freedom, took restrictions off of the people, and didn't grant more power to government. I have asked this question for 12 years on the radio, and nobody's ever been able to give me one piece of legislation. So I dare you. I challenge you. I challenge the Romneys, the Mike Lees. What piece of legislation have you proposed to restore liberty or freedom to your constituents? To Rand Paul, to Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or any of those is just a waste of time, because that's not what their goals are. But for conservative Republicans, those are the promises these people made to go to office. And they always say, well, there's no way to get a piece of legislation through. I'm not asking you to get it through. I'm asking you what you proposed. Did you propose to give the states back the Senate? Did you propose to end taxes and go back to the way the anti-federalists wanted it? Did you propose to end the Department of Education like you said in your speeches? Did you propose term limits? Did you propose, you know, anything that would restore liberty and freedom to this nation? So, Brian, what piece of legislation? You study it.
Well, if you could hear in the background the sound of what sounded like rusty machinery trying to work, that's my brain trying to come up with an answer. And off the top of my head, Tim, I can think of a couple of examples where we've been thrown a bone, but I can't think of anything that actually moved the needle in the direction of freedom. And I mean, I'm really thinking about it. I can't think of a single one.
So if you can't answer that question and you can't say, yes, our politicians are working for freedom and liberty, then they're not our founding fathers' version of constitutionalists. They're not defending their oath. And if they have violated their oath, they should be removed. And this is a problem. Everybody says, well, not my elected official. He talks so good. My dad used to always tell me, son, words are powerful. Words can influence people, but our words don't define us. Only our actions do. Because I could tell people, yeah, I'm going to go out and move the car. But if I don't go out and move the car, that means the wife's going to have to go out and move the car. And she's going to be angry because I promised her I'd go move the car. If I tell people, yes, I'm going to fight for liberty, I'll show up at that thing and give a speech on the Constitution. I don't show up, but 50 people show up to listen to me. They're going to be a little angry that they showed up to hear the guy who wrote the book Origins of Liberty not show up to talk about the origins of liberty. So this is it. You can say things, but if you don't do it, if your actions don't define you, and this is, I wish I knew the quote by heart, but you know, when Nazi Germany happened and that quote came out, you know, when they came for these people, nobody helped. When they came for these, you know, and now there's nobody left when they come for you. That's where we're at in America today. We're just watching them go after different groups. And everybody's happy with them going after conservatives right now. The mainstream media is on board. The tech giants are on board. Everybody's on board with going after these people, because how dare they want liberty and freedom for all of us? We're not asking for it. Stop trying to get liberty and freedom from me. I want that $1,400 stimulus check. Quit telling our politicians not to do it. So if you can't answer that question about your politicians, you need to work against that politician and find a statesperson, because I'm telling you, we're losing it on the city level. We're losing it on the state level, and we've lost it on the federal level. I'd even dare to say the state of Utah lost it. There's, you know, when I did the Freedom Index back in 2012 and I reviewed every law and every book in every state and I reviewed the states on freedom, there was no state that was free anymore. The closest, I think, was Alaska, was still 33% free. Try justifying that to our politician. You know, the founding fathers. Yeah, one state has 33% freedom when their goal was 100% freedom for people because freedom came from God. And that's where we're at. So that question is one I always like to pose, because, folks, if you can't answer that question and you look at things like the NDAA and the omnibus bills and now the parliamentarian of the Senate is now saying that the filibuster is no good and they can pass this piece of legislation and this piece of legislation and this piece of legislation, and they can outlaw this and they can outlaw that and they can outlaw, you know, this form of gun. It's like all of it violates their oath of office, the Constitution they swore to defend. Everything Biden is doing right now, and this is going to be bold, this is going to be bold, Brian, is treason. The man sitting in the White House right now that stole the election is committing treason to the Constitution and his oath of office.
You know, the question that comes to me is, what will I tell those who come after us? And I'm not just talking, you know, when I'm an old man sitting in a rocking chair on my porch. I think the halls of eternity are very, very long. And Tim, I think that I think there is an absolute chance that we will face people whose generations came after ours, and they're going to ask us, did you know this was going on? What did you do to try to rectify the situation? And, you know, I mean, look, the story isn't over yet, so please don't think I'm saying, you know, it's done, there's nothing we can do. But I want to be able to answer, I honestly did everything that was within my power.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I disagree a little bit. Washington's done. I ran for office once, and I tried to get people to allow me to do this commercial. I'm going to run this concept by, and I want people out there to visualize. This is radio, you got to visualize with me. I pictured an old man sitting in that rocking chair covered with chains, thousands of chains. And he's talking to his grandkids, and they all have hundreds of chains at their age. And then I have another man that's sitting in a hospital bed, wounded, talking to his grandchildren. They're standing on the side of the bed. And the children were asking, "Grandpa, why didn't you fight for freedom? Why am I wearing these chains?" And the grandpa has to answer, well, that $1,400 stimulus check was more important to me than liberty and freedom. That security I gave up with the NDAA, where government can spy on us and violate our Fourth Amendment and violate our First Amendment and violate our Second Amendment. I just didn't want to be that guy that stirred up trouble. So that's why you kids are wearing chains, is because I refuse to do anything. And the other guy, the children are like, "Grandpa, where did you get all these injuries from?" And he's like, "I fought for freedom. I fought for liberty. That's why you don't have injuries. That's why you have freedom. That's why you have liberty." And I think I envisioned, I had this vision the other day that I'm driving down the road, and if we could look in our rearview mirrors, and as we're driving, we look in our rearview mirrors and we see Thomas Jefferson, and we see Patrick Henry, and we see Roger Sherman. Are they going to be smiling and happy and waving at us for what we've tried to do? Or are we going to look in the mirrors and see them bloody and injured and hurt and their farms burning and asking why they sacrificed us if we were going to let it go in less than 250 years? If everything that all these people, and then I saw the people from, the Revolutionary War, the soldiers who fought and died. And it's like they could have just kept living in chains if we were going to give them up within three generations. I mean, honestly, the average living age today is 80. So best case scenario, 4.5 generations, we've totally reversed the clock on liberty towards slavery. And you might not see the chains you're wearing, and slavery might not be the politically correct term in today's world, but you're slaves. You're slaves to the government. You're slaves to your job. And you're not looking at the most important aspect of your life, liberty and freedom. And that's a tough thing. I mean, I'm lecturing people out there, and I'm telling you, you need to become a disciple of liberty. You need to recognize what freedom is. You need to find it within yourself. Then you need to teach your family. And so many people, I have had a conversation with somebody the other day, and he's like, "Oh, my 17-year-old daughter, I love her, but she's becoming way liberal." You know, that's the terminology. I hate terminology, but that's the terminology everybody's familiar with. And she doesn't understand the Constitution. She doesn't understand why ID should be required to vote. She's okay with the driver's license. She's okay with a COVID vaccine thing now. And I said, well, I said, if you're not willing to have the argument with your own kids about the Constitution, you've already put the chains on your kids and you. Because if you can't have a discussion, and I'm not saying try to convince them, but give them where to find good information on why liberty and freedom is important. Because they've erased history. You start Googling things, and you said an interesting thing that I was going to comment to earlier. If I went and asked 10 people if they knew what liberty was, I was going to go, where am I? Because if I'm on a college campus, I could probably ask 30 if they love liberty, and they're going to call people to try to have me arrested because I'm one of those domestic terrorists, or I'm one of those PragerU people, or I'm one of these people who they shouldn't associate with because I'm a racist and I'm conservative, and that's what they'll associate liberty with. So it really depends on which generation I'm asking to what the answer is going to be. And I know that for a fact because I've done those man on the street topics and ask people, you know, what's the Second Amendment? I don't know. What's the First Amendment? Freedom from religion, that nobody should be able to talk about religion. You know, people have it totally messed up, but this is what our schools are teaching them. I tell people all the time, you know, if you're a religious person, you go to church on Sunday, you might go to that 1 or 2 hour church, but your kids are getting 8 hours a day, 5 days a week by institutionalized reprogramming of socialist agendas in schools. And ask your kid, what did you learn in school today? Did they talk about liberty and freedom or the Constitution? Well, no, they talked about race issues or whatever. Then you need to have corrective conversations daily with your children about what their teachers are doing.
You know, I think back to the difference between the founding generation and us. And you'd mentioned chains earlier, Tim. I think we're in the habit today that people are probably to a point where some of them would sit around and compare. Look how pretty my chains are. They're better than your chains. You know, I mean, they're actually kind of proud of them. But I'm wondering what in your mind, what was it that founding generation that actually suffered to secure the blessings of liberty? What did they know that we have forgotten since?
Well, they knew they wanted to live free. They knew they wanted to break the chains of England. And you have to understand, this all comes after the French Indian War. England felt, okay, well, the war happened. We defended the colonies, so the colonies need to pay for everything. And so they wanted to up the taxes. They wanted to up the tariffs. They wanted to just enslave them to pay back the debt for the war England fought. And the people of the colonies are like, you're going to bankrupt us. You're going to destroy us. You're shutting our businesses down. Everything that's happening with COVID and everything in today's world, they said no to. They're like, no, we're not going to pay this tea tax. No, we're not going to do this. And we're not going to just bow down and not have a voice, because you have to understand, all these decisions were being made in Parliament without any representation from the colonies. None of the 13 colonies had a say in whether these taxes would take place or not. It was Parliament and the King that was saying, okay, we don't want to pay our share, so let's get the rich to pay it. And I said that for a reason, because that's how people look at it today. Is like, the people that worked hard, the people that risked, they should pay for us, because we didn't want to take the risk, doesn't matter. But they've prospered off of that risk, and so I want my fair share of their risk.
No, I think you're right on. And I don't know what it's going to take. And I guess this is why you and I are discussing this. What would it take to persuade people that this is not only a good thing to understand, but these are principles that are actually worth living? They'll make your life better than sitting there with your hand out waiting for the next stimmy check to land in it.
Well, and this is the thing. After January 6th and the mockery of the false riots and revolution, and I've heard it called so many things because I was there in Washington on January 6th. And yes, you can come interview me, Department of Justice, FBI, whatever. I have nothing to hide, nothing to fear, because that's my house. And that's what people don't recognize, is this wasn't the 4 years of Trump wasn't just anti-Trump. It was anti-Christian. It was anti-family. It was anti-conservative. They hated everything about liberty and freedom. And they felt if they could remove Trump, then people would just go away like they did in 2010 with the Tea Party Revolution at that time. They called it the Tea Party Revolution. That the media was able to dominate and take over, that the politicians like Marco Rubio was able to say, yeah, they're that grassroots fighter. And then they failed tremendously when they went to Washington, D.C. They figured if they could remove what stood as the figurehead for a restoration of the Constitution and liberty and God and everything else, that they could remove the people from the cause of liberty. So I tell people all the time, this wasn't about destroying Trump. This was about destroying you. If you're a faith-loving person in this nation, evangelical, Lutheran, Presbyterian, LDS, whatever your religion is, you're their target. If you're a conservative or you're constitutionally minded or love liberty and freedom, you're the target. If you believe that your rights are important, you're the target. That's what this was about. It wasn't about destroying one man. It was about destroying one man who could unite 100 million people against them. And that terrified them because most of those 100 million are armed. And it terrified them. And when President Trump, they knew he was going to say, let's peacefully and patriotically march to the Capitol and show those fighting fraud and fighting the mainstream media that there is support out here for them. They hijacked that and they planned it and they utilized it. And if you think your government is beyond doing something illegal, you're crazier than I am. You can call me a conspiracy theorist, but if you haven't ever looked at files that have been released because of groups like Justice Watch or somebody else that have been unredacted, you'll know better than anything. Our government has used covert ops to do horrible things in this world. They don't like somebody, they'll disappear somebody in any nation. They feel they are so far above everything that we don't even know what our government's capable of. So if you don't think they're capable of insurrection of their own Congress when they weren't even there, most you have to understand, AOC and people weren't even in that building. They had evacuated that building earlier. They knew what their plans were. If you don't recognize that everything was pre-planned to shut down any thought of election fraud or delaying the election certification of their puppet, the dementia-ridden Biden, then you honestly have been missing out on really what's going on in your own world.
Tim, I think that most of the people who could be doing more to support the cause of freedom, they're not power-hungry politicians. I have no love for politicians whatsoever, and that includes many Republicans as well as many Democrats. But I'm curious, and I'd like to get your take on this. Why do so many people, good people, cling or at least grasp for any reason to keep believing that government is really there taking care of us? And if they ever did do something wrong, well, the media would tell us about it.
You know, I've been trying to answer that question in my own mind for decades, just like you. And the problem is, you never want to believe that the vote you cast for the person you cast it on would turn on you. And so you want to give them every opportunity to prove that vote right. Where, you know, the founding fathers gave up on the king. They gave up on the king. They said, okay, the king's not going to give us liberty and freedom. The king's going to damage us and hurt us more. So we have to turn on the king and we have to turn on parliament and we have to do it together. The other problem with when you talk about Christians, family, people, we're worried about our own family, our own bills, our own jobs. And we're all, you know, people that work hard. And so we and conservatives like to be in control. The one thing about the Democrats is they're like zombies. They look to their rulers and they'll show up and protest. They'll show up and unload a bus in Seattle and put on the body armor that George Soros provides for them and grab the AR-15s that the government's giving them. And they'll march and burn businesses and streets with no worry about mayors or anybody prosecuting them because they're just doing what people would do who have been mistreated by police, you know, those type of conversations. We look at that, and so we form our own little groups. And then uniting with other groups, because some of us are passionate about abortion. Others are passionate about the Second Amendment. Others care more about freedom of religion or freedom of speech. Others care more about the justice system. So it's hard to unite because we're all passionate about something. So we don't unite and say, all of it's bad. What they're doing to all this stuff is bad. And if we, and that's what they feared about Trump, is Trump could unite and say, I want 4 million people to show up in Utah, and they would. And they're like, we can't have anybody who can unite people. And that's what this Disciple of Liberty has to be. That person who will unite for the cause of liberty, no matter where it is, no matter what it costs. They'll find a way to get there and fight and stand up for those that are being abused or arrested or treated poorly by a government that's out of control.
So it's pretty clear each of us individually probably aren't going to lone wolf McQuaid our way into the restoration of liberty. How do we go about winning over the hearts and minds of people who've been indoctrinated from a very young age to look at liberty with suspicion, to believe that, well, you're part of a dangerous cult if that's something you favor?
Well, that's what I said. They need to understand history. And you can't change somebody's mind with arguing with them or calling them names, because that's what the left does. They have no valid argument, so they'll call you a racist, or they'll call you a domestic terrorist, or one of those conservative people. You have to show them facts, and you have to say where you got the facts. And it's not coming from main. It's so funny, because the left will believe CNN. They'll believe MSNBC. But you show them something from the Epoch Times or something, well, that's one of those conspiracy sites. That's a conservative site. They're liars. And it's like, what makes you think that guy in CNN's telling you the truth? Well, he is. Why? Well, he just is. No justification for it. It's like, and you can show some of these people facts, but if we don't start talking to our grandkids, and indoctrination is one thing. It's like the military commanders told our government about Afghanistan and Iraq for decades, that unless we're willing to basically kill everybody over the age of 20 and reteach the children, Republic principles, you're not going to change that nation, because every generation is growing up hating America because the other generation is teaching them. So unless you're willing to wipe out everybody who could and teach their children for 20 years, for two generations, and this is what the socialists in China and Russia recognize. They couldn't beat America militarily, so they'll beat America by indoctrinating people to socialism in our schools. And they've done it for three decades. Millennials and others have been indoctrinated into liberty and freedom is bad and socialism is good. And so it's hard to change anybody's mind once you've been programmed. Deprogramming is hard. And so we need to teach the youth, but we need to stand up. And I honestly think it's time for a divorce of states. I honestly believe that we should let liberal states go on their own. And if you like California more, leave Utah, go back to California. We'll give them California, New York, you know, the 13 states that vote Democratic all the time. We'll keep all the red states. We'll keep the military because they hate them. We'll keep the ports in Texas and Florida because they're Republic. And you guys move and get all your free stuff. Oh, wait, there'll be nobody to pay for it. I know. Divorce seems hard, but we need to start telling our states we want to support Texas and secession. And people look at me like, oh, wow, Utah's not going to do that right now because we have a liberal. We have a Democratic governor. We have Democratic representatives like John Curtis, Mitt Romney. You know, the fact of the matter is, we've lost the fight. Now it's a new fight. Welcome to the revolution. It starts today. We have to fight back, and we have to fight back peacefully at first. But what are you willing to sacrifice? How far are you willing to go for freedom and liberty? Because the chains keep getting put on. Every day there's a new chain. Every day there's a new restriction. Every day government's telling you how to live your life. So your choice. What are you willing to fight for? What are you willing to defend? You know, tell me the one piece of legislation that restored any of your freedom and I'll stop doing this. It's not going to happen. It's a bet I'm going to win. And if everybody sent me a dollar, if they can't, who listen to this show, I could retire and just do Liberty's cause 100%. Do you know what I mean? So,
you know, I want to come back to the whole idea of discipleship, because I think that it's a very apt term for what needs to take place. We don't need people to go out and force people to be free. We don't need people to go out and browbeat them. But disciples are there to persuade and to win people over with love, as well as through the way, you know, the action, like you said, not just their words, but the way that they actually live their lives.
And that's the thing. It's love. It's respect. It's action. It's standing up and defending what you know is right, giving them a book on the Constitution and asking them to read it, passing them out. I've done that before in my own religion. I bought a case of A Glorious Standard. It's an amazing book if you can find it. I wrote the book Origins of Liberty. Give it to people because it poses two questions. Either liberty comes from man and they can take it away and put chains on you, or it comes from God. Only two choices you have, folks. Some people will say, well, what about nature's law? Okay. Founding fathers talked about nature's law, and nature's law came from a deity, and it came from God. So the fact of the matter is you have two choices. You can get Origins of Liberty at America Out Loud right there in the bookstore. You can get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Origins of Liberty, Tim Alders. I think they actually did it under Timothy. And that's my real name. But you have to decide today, are you going to be a disciple of liberty? Are you going to support shows like this? Are you going to listen to other shows, share these messages, and stand up and say, okay, Tim, I'm here. Here's my email. My email is easy. It's timalders@live.com, LIVE.com. Email me. Let's start building an organization of disciples of liberty across this nation. Thank you so much. God bless. God love you. God loves your family.
Thank you so much, Tim. I got to tell you, I'm proud to be your friend. I'm also proud to stand alongside you in a fight that I think matters more than most people realize.
And I know you'd be there if the FBI shows up to arrest me. So thank you, folks. Have a great day.